What's that?
It's a wonder you're not deaf.
I am deaf today, actually. I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but last night I went to the Schubert Theater, and I saw Adam Ant. Remember Adam Ant?
Yep.
You do? Okay. Enough said there. I'm Mark Carey, and with me is every week on City View, the mayor's podcast on Podcast Quincy. That's where you'll find us, by the way. Type in Podcast Quincy, and you'll find us. Mayor Koch, we are in his office. Hello, Mayor.
Hello, Mark. City View. So our view on Quincy.
Our view on Quincy, but first, before...
Very unbiased view, of course.
I'm very excited to talk about something that I know you're really excited to talk about today, which is the schools, but... we had a great weekend. We had a really great weekend with a lot of events happening, and the rain did not stop us because, although it did pour
heavily. Little interruption.
It was. So we had, you know, and unfortunately, I read the Patriot Ledger, and it said over 100 people showed. There were hundreds of people at the at the Country Fest this weekend, but we also had
Welcome to my world. Misprint?
Yeah, we also had the Beach Bash, which was a big deal. And also, we'll talk about these things
we had the Beach Bash down to Avalon Beach, something that has been off and on over the years. Brad Kroll, the council president, what two councilor and I sponsored. We had, I think we've had about 250. We had a band down there, Wolfpack, I think the name of the band was. And it was just a gorgeous day, really was. So the 12 to 2 range was just gorgeous. So they didn't have any issues down there weather-wise. It's nice to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time. Woman Joyce down there, she's, I don't want to give her age away, but she's an older woman who still swims every day at Avalon Beach.
Wow.
Remarkable woman. And just great to see a lot of great folks out there. It's cool for me too, Mark, because it's a fun event, but there's also a lot of information I get, things that are on people's mind, requests, constituent issues. So it's work for me, but I enjoy it.
Good and bad.
So then we went from there. I went to Howe's Neck, the annual Chowder Fest down at the Maritime Center in the Yacht Club area, and that was pretty packed. I know they were interrupted by the rain as well, but I know that a number of vendors were there testing out. I can't have chowder. I'm allergic to it, so I don't ever get to taste the chowder. But we honored Peggy O'Connor, lifelong Howe's Necker, who was given the title of mayor of Howe's Neck. So I did ask if we could divert all constituent calls in Ward 1 to her. she did not like that one. So great lady. It's a fundraiser to do for the Howe's Neck Community Council and every year. And she got to raise the most money, which means she's the mayor. That's something to that. I mean, yeah. A lot of times the one that raises the most money wins the elections.
It's something to that.
Something to that. But congratulations to Peggy. Last year was Lois Murphy, another great lifer from the neck who does great work. So, and then, of course, I came back to, I saw the tail end of the Country Fest, which I saw, there must have been 300 when I was here.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was more than 100 for sure.
Well, and we did get hit, and the rain came down, and it came down, it didn't start sprinkling, it just started pouring, and it wasn't a covered stage, so.
Do you remember David Hackett? We went to high school.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah,
Will Smith brought a woman over to me. She was on her walker. She's in her 90s. Mrs. Hackett. She said, "I lived on Rawson Road. We moved out a long time ago, but you went to school with my son David." And we had a great chat. He lives in Texas, so if he hears us, hello to David. She's now in Louisiana with a couple of her daughters, but they've been out of Quincy a long time.
No kidding.
She was quite impressed with the Hancock Adams comment. She was absolutely thrilled with it.
I had somebody that came up to me and said, "I listened to your podcast."
Wow.
So
there's two.
We got five now, so we're good. But the acts were really amazing, and the atmosphere around the Hancock Adams Common, that's what this park is all about. That was really, really fun. I mean, there was such a great family, music, festive atmosphere.
Good stuff. And I know that we have a good team working all this stuff, but certainly a shout out to John McDonald for coordinating some of these programs we do out here. He does a great job.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So, moving on, we'll talk. We'll mention some of the events at the end of the podcast today that we are that are upcoming here in the city. But right now, we want to switch. Today, we're going to be talking about the schools, and not necessarily. In the past, we've spent some time talking about building schools, which is fantastic and something that we should be very proud of as a city that we're able to do these things and not have
more
to
come.
Really have the ability to do it, and we're looking toward another one. But the quality of the classroom, Mayor. Let's talk about that because that really is something that is. Really what this is all about in the end, right?
Well, I probably said on this podcast, probably around graduation time, you know, as mayor, I'm also chairman of the school committee, ex officio, and one of my favorite nights of the year is graduation. When you're at the stadium, for both high schools, they have their individual graduations, Quincy and North, And just to see those kids move on to four-year colleges, some top colleges, Ivy League, MIT, Harvard, you name it, they're going all over the place. A number of them that committing to go right into the service to serve their nation. And then a number of folks that have learned trades in our comprehensive high school to get right into the work world. It's just awesome because it sums it all up, what we try to do as a city, as a community with our public school system, and that is prepare our young people for their future. So many people involved with that along the way. You know, you forget about the kindergarten teacher, but that was the start of it. You know, some go pre-K, and then you go all the way up through the system. Of course, the teachers, principals, vice principals, guidance counselors, coaches, the cafeteria workers, the custodians, the traffic supervisors, getting the kids to school. There's so many people that touch education and the experience for our kids to go through. So I'm so proud of our public school system. Richter Christopher has been our superintendent for quite a few years now. Gosh, it's got to be 16 or 17 years, and lifelong educator. Him and his team, Deputy Superintendent Kevin Mulvey, Aaron Perkins, the entire team do an incredible job. They are so committed to doing the right thing for each kid and each family that we serve in our city. So let me start with that.
Yeah.
Hats off to our leadership team, and hats off to our teachers.
Yeah,
because that's where it happens.
Fantastic.
In the classroom.
Great people. Fantastic crowd, fantastic crew of people. So let's
a little hesitation. That's tough on podcasts or radio. You know that, right?
That's like it's what they used to call. That's some dead air that you could drive a Mack truck through. Let's look at this. We're both holding some stats here that are really incredible. When you look at where the city has come and the quality of the education is really at the end of the day what it's all about. You can build all the buildings you want, but if the quality isn't there, and that's what we were hoping that we could talk about, and you could talk about today, and some of these incredible stats that we're looking at today.
Yeah, I think one of the really cool ones is Boston Magazine recently ranked high schools around the state. The only city that had their high schools rated higher than Quincy is Newton. Now, that's pretty remarkable.
That's amazing.
All cities now. I'm not talking about, you know, the affluent suburbs, but, you know, urban districts have more challenges than the suburban districts. But having said that, and regardless of how this ranking came out, We know that we're doing the right thing for our kids. That,
right.
You know, and I mentioned at graduation, these kids are going to every school all across the country, including the best. So it's the schools are doing an incredible job. But that's a pretty neat ranking from Boston Magazine. So that's definitely a bragging point for our school systems, no question. The other thing I think is worthy of mention is that the state came to us and wanted to know more about our graduation rate and how we have, over the years, last 10 years, really reduced it dramatically. So we have the highest graduation rate among cities, and that's pretty incredible. So they came to us asking for us, really as a model, to dig in a little bit how we do it, what we do, what programs we offer. Because, you know, if a kid doesn't graduate from high school, he's starting off in a tough place. You know, everything today, when you go out there in the world, work world, everything, is minimum high school graduation,
yeah, right?
You need that diploma.
Of course.
It's so important. So we recognize that. Some young people that may be mixed up at the time don't realize that, and they come to learn that later, unfortunately, through some tough decisions. But having said that, so the state come in, and they're viewing us as a model program for other districts our size, and they're spreading that, you know, that model around for others to look at to see if they can emulate what the city of Quincy is doing with the special program we do. So just by way of stats, 81% of our graduates go on to four-year colleges. That's pretty impressive for, again, an urban district. And then, of course, there's another group that goes on to, as I mentioned, going into the service. Some going right into the work world. And some go on to community colleges. So
That's a pretty high number, though.
Yeah, the kids are doing well. So one of the focuses we've had, I know you mentioned the buildings, and the buildings are important. We need to have safe and clean, great learning environments with as many of the tools as we can give them. But it's really what goes on in the classroom. And one of the things that this city's been proud of for many years, long before Tom Koch was mayor, but we've sustained it, and that is keeping class size to as minimal as we can. You know, I went 1 through 8 through Sacred Heart School. We had the Sisters of St. Joseph, and then I went on to North Quincy High. We had 33, 34, 35 kids in a class. Now, you didn't mess with the nuns, so that, you know, they could handle it. But the reality is, all studies show, the less kids in the class, the more opportunity for that teacher one-on-one with kids. And that makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
So So we've done a pretty good job, and I certainly give credit to the leadership team and my colleagues on the school committee who work very hard at this. This is something we all agree on. There's times you disagree on policy and things, but this is something everybody agrees on. So the average elementary school class size is 20 kids.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, you go around to more affluent communities than us, and I'll challenge you to see what their numbers
are.
Sure, 95% of our middle school classrooms are under 24 kids a classroom. And then 81% of our high school classes are under 25 students. Now, the classes that go a little bigger, sometimes it's the advanced placement, the kids that really are interested in learning. You can put more kids in a class like that because they don't need as much one-on-one. And quite frankly, they're not horsing around like you or I were doing in the classroom when we were in high school.
I was hiding or disappearing out the back.
I've never heard stories about you. Yeah. Thought you could sing in the choir.
Mr. Carbonell, he was my teacher. He was that one guy for me that showed me the way.
Well, anyway. You bring that up. We talk about that. In fact, I think we mentioned this, the recent luncheon with David McCullough that you weren't able to go. He talked about how important teachers are and education is.
He did it.
And he said even presidents point to a particular teacher that made a difference in their lives. So I think everybody can say there was a teacher or maybe a guidance counselor or somebody in education that gave them that little extra word of encouragement, kicking the ass, whatever you want to do it, that made a difference. You mentioned Mr. Carbonell. I think of elementary school. I think of Sister Georgita. And I'm sure there's others that come to mind, and they do to me, too. But people out there listening, if you ever get the chance and you see a teacher, thank the teacher for what they do. It's not easy today because the kids come into school, in some cases, aren't as prepared. Some come from very difficult family backgrounds. And fortunately, the classroom is that great equalizer. It is that place where no matter where you're from, everyone gets treated well, everyone gets treated the same, and every opportunity is given to each. Now, there's those that may need some more services for various reasons, and our school system zeroes in on that and tries to make that available to each and every one of them. So, you know, it's not easy on teachers today.
But to have that one teacher, and especially when you're talking to David McCullough, the place that I wasn't invited to last week, yes, but when we're talking to him.
He was asking for you, too. He said, geez, where the hell's Mark? Jeez.
Anyway.
So anyway, but you know, I talked at various school committee meetings. You know, there's been a lot of focus on testing, MCAS, which is a four-letter word.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and you know, and I do believe we need to have measurements. Do we need to understand how we're doing overall? We are in a global economy, and I get that. And there's been a lot of focus on science and math, and now we're seeing a greater interest, a little bit more in history and in other areas. But the reality is this is more and more pressure on the kids. It's more and more pressure on the teachers. And the concern is, are we teaching to the test? You know, what are we doing? Are we really providing every kid a great opportunity to grow in whatever they're gifted in? I mean, how many people that I know, and certainly how many people know exactly what you're going to do in your high school, right?
Right,
most people haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
Maybe you thought about which school you're going to, and maybe you go to that college, but you don't know what you're going to be. You don't know what you're going to do. I mean, there's people that have it all figured out, and good luck to them, you know, but most don't. You know, that high school experience, you want them exposed to as much as they possibly can, you know, beyond the core curriculum, which is important, but the arts, the music, all those other areas.
Those vocational programs, technical programs are
all
amazing.
Of that, yeah. So people bloom at different times in their life, and the old saying, bloom where you planted, too. That's a great one. But, you know, in high school, I wasn't thinking about running for mayor. I was thinking about public service. But I know kids that learn in high school what a gift they had in art, for example. You learned through
music.
Mr. Kavanaugh music.
And, yeah. It was a savior to me.
Kills me to say this, but you're a pretty good musician, Mark.
Oh, that hurt people. You have no idea how much that hurt him to say that.
No, but you know, but you attribute a lot of that to Mr. Kavanaugh.
Of course,
There's kids the same way in science and math that had that lab program, that teacher that made a difference. So what goes on in the classroom, that connection between the teacher and the child is so important.
And what they have now, like that's the difference now. The programs that they have now are really second to none. I mean, even when we look at just a little bit of stuff that I've been involved in with the broadcast areas.
Oh, there's some incredible opportunities for people. Yeah, absolutely.
Other schools don't get this. Right. They just don't.
No. And it's, again, we're trying to expose the kids to as many opportunities as they can so that it's not only, you know, it's great to go out in the work world and make a living, but it's another thing to go out and love what you do. And if you can figure that earlier on in life, and it's not all about the money, folks, you know, although we need to pay the bills. But the old saying, you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I would suggest that certainly applies to me, but, you know, the cynics out there will say, well, he works for that city, so he doesn't know what work is anyway.
If I was talking to your wife, by the way, she'd say that you wanted to be mayor when you were 16.
I don't know.
He was class president, everybody. So. In my class, he was class president. So.
Well, anyway, I had a drought. I lost a couple elections before I won the mayor's seat. So,
toughened you up for what you're doing now.
That's right. But I got to tell you, the other aspect today is different. You know, when we talk about some of the new buildings we have, the space required per student today in the educational is very different. You go back to our parents' days, and even some degree our days, it was the classroom, it was a cafeteria, there was a nurse's office. Yeah. You know, I mean, there wasn't a lot. And we didn't have a gymnasium at Sacred Heart. We went out and hustled around the schoolyard or in the auditorium, but today, you know, you have a lot of specialties. We have over 20 primary languages spoken at Clifford Marshall School.
Yeah.
We have special literacy programs. If we see there's an issue with a kid at the younger age, we try to address that issue. So some kids get pulled out and get extra in certain areas. So you need these areas for teachers to come in and out of. Guidance today is far more requirements for space, and they're more involved in families than they ever were. I don't know that I ever met with a guidance counselor when I was in high school. I remember some of who they were, but I don't think I ever sat and met with them. No. Well, there's some kids that need more guidance, need more help, because they're not getting it at home. The space required is very different than the old red schoolhouse. You know, I think that's important to mention. The other thing that I think that also is very important, I know I already said thank you to our teachers, but I don't think the public realizes what they have to go through today for teaching.
Yeah.
You know, you need a master's degree, not just an undergraduate degree. You need a master's degree, and you need to pass the MTELS, which is a very tough test for the teachers. And, you know, so they're putting it all on the line, you know, to get there, never mind once they're there. And then, of course, we had Ed Eval under Ed reform with the state a number of years ago. You know, I'm kiddingly, Mark, but half kiddingly here. I also look back and say there were a few teachers in school that never should have probably been in the classroom, right? I mean, we had some beauties, too.
I can give you a few.
But today, that doesn't happen because the requirements and the stringent, you know, follow-up and of the schools, the principals have far more say, keeping everyone's feet to the fire and so forth. So teachers tend to get blamed for everything, and that's unfortunate. I know a lot of poorer districts and struggling districts. If a kid's not coming to school, and kids is not interested when they're in the classroom, it's tough to hold the key teacher accountable for all those test scores.
Right,
That's what happens a lot, unfortunately. It really is a community effort. This city has always felt strongly about the Quincy Public Schools. I mentioned the school committee. The city council has been nothing but supportive of our budgets, the resources needed. It's not all about the money, but it is about providing the adequate resources in the classroom and beyond. So we've had a lot of wonderful colleagues in government over the years that have felt strongly about education, and I'm glad that tradition continues because we are producing some of the best. And it how many opportunities do you have, right? You go through school once. So we got to provide the best possible opportunity for these kids to succeed, because if they've missed that opportunity, they fall behind in life and don't have a good start. So obviously, I'm passionate about our schools.
Yeah, of course.
I don't mean to get too crazy.
I remember I have one, and I'm not going to say who it was, but I did see my guidance counselor, since you said. I saw my guidance counselor one time, and I believe it was the 10th or 11th grade, and I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do. This is before I even found the music, right? So I ended up going to see him and said, yeah, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I want to be. And he goes, what do you like to do? Do you like to work with your hands? I said, yeah, sure. He goes, electrician. You should be an electrician. And he printed off all these electrics. I think I still have it somewhere packed away. But that's
you're pretty good with the microphone stuff.
Well, technical skills. They didn't have them back then. But so I get what your point. The point is now, where we are now in 2019 as opposed to where we were in 1980-something. You know what I mean?
Yep. Just not absolutely. So much. Well, we were also in a time when budgets were tight. Prop 2.5 went through.
Right.
There were a lot of cuts and stuff. So.
You know, we did say that, and we did start.
And by the way, I'm sorry, I mentioned the council.
Yeah.
Our state legislators, governor, they've been very supportive of Chapter 70, education funding for our schools. So thank you to all them as well.
And just to touch base again with we said in the beginning that the construction isn't everything, but it is important to give them the tools and make sure that they have the proper safety and buildings that they need. And we have, in the last 10 years or so, 12 years, we've built a new Quincy High School. New Central Middle School, New Southwest Middle School.
Yep, they replaced the old Sterling. Runned away for the early stages of the study of the Squanum School.
Yeah,
North Elementary School in Squanum. That
North
Quincy
High School up to, you know, the Creedon Field.
Well, we've certainly, you know, if you look pretty much look at every building in the city, we've done work to them. Some have boilers, some roofs, some windows. You know, every building's been touched with improvements. And we got to do that. We got to continue to maintain them. Because that's something that can really bite you later if you don't keep up with things. So.
Sure. Speaking of these new schools, we do have Southwest Middle School is having a big
October 27th. I think that's a Sunday. I think it's at 2 o'clock. We'll let you know for sure on that, but it'll be in the paper. But we are planning a grand celebration, and that's open to the public. So those folks that have not seen the school that want to see it and tour it, maybe some folks that graduated from Sterling or South Junior High would like to come back and see it. I encourage you to do so. We'll have some dignitaries there, and we'll have tours of the school. But the whole thing will be done this month. As you know, we opened it late June. The kids moved over, so we could then take the old building down.
Right.
Now finishing up the site work, the landscaping, finishing touches. So it'll all be complete, and looking forward to that date.
So October 27th at 2 p.m., the grand opening of the new Southwest Middle School. You definitely want to see this if you're thinking of having your kids go there. If you've been there before, if you're an alum, check this place out. It's really an amazing building.
Sure is. Yeah. Sure is.
So, Mayor, that's been a pretty good overview of the quality of the classroom and some of the new construction going on. Let's move now again to—
Before you do that.
Yes.
Last year,
yep.
All of Massachusetts, we had the Teacher of the Year Award.
That's right.
Teacher at North. This past year— We had the nurse, school nurse of the year in Quincy. And this past year we had the coach of the year in Quincy. So
that's pretty fantastic.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that really is great. So again, folks, we kicked off the program today about talking about some of the things we had over this past weekend. Well, we're just going to once again mention, as we do every week, because there's a lot going on and you have to just keep banging away and letting people know when it is, because I actually had somebody come up to me over at the Country Fest. This is amazing. How come I haven't heard about it? I just walked by and saw it. I'm like, well, it's been everywhere. We've talked about it everywhere.
And no, it's tough.
We understand it. You got to put it out there all the time, and that's why we— So forgive us if you've heard this, and just tune us out at this point if you don't want to listen. But coming up on the 28th and 29th, we have first at Adams Field, we have the FAR President's 5K.
Yes, which is combined with the Arts Fest. So the Arts Fest is at Adams Field the 28th, 29th. The Sunday morning before the Arts Fest kicks off, we're doing the road race, which will then return to Adams. And hopefully they'll complement each other. But the race raises some money for health and wellness programs for our schools.
Really fantastic. And that weekend is amazing. And as I've said it before, make sure that you make it on Saturday afternoon to listen to the Quincy Symphony Orchestra. Well, it's an absolute treasure in this town, in this city, that we have that orchestra.
Absolutely. So, give it up for the Quincy Symphony.
He's making fun of me again. I'm just going to say that. Okay. Also on October 5th, we have our food truck and music festival. We have 25 something like that food trucks. We're closing it off. It's on Coddington Street. People have asked that. It's on Coddington Street.
Between the library and Coddington building.
Exactly.
Right,
but, well, actually, yeah, but it'll all the way down to the high school. So we'll be holding.
Is that many trucks?
Yeah, about 23.
Wow,
a couple of whoopie pie trucks, I think. For you,
just as long as it's the one from before.
That's it. But also, we have the lineup of the music that's going to be there opening the day. Will be Cosmic Analog Blue is one band.
Okay.
Followed by the Dave Macklin Band, which is a really cool funk sort of a Motown kind of R&B band. Followed by a brand new booking of a new group that just signed with Universal Music, and they just opened up for Cardi B in L.A. last week, and their X's and O's, and their Quincy's own X's and O's with four incredibly talented singers from Music Ball Entertainment. And one of the girls was on American Idol, by the way, one of the top 10 American Idol. And followed by Dick and Jane. Dick and Jane is someone you may have heard of.
Sure. You've been around a long time.
I'm the only old timer in it, okay? Let's just say that.
That's your band.
The Jay Passaros Band. Jay Passaros is a fantastic musician who's opened up for a lot of great bands like Boss Gags, and he's really a great guy. He's from Weymouth, but a really great musician. It's going to be a fantastic lineup, all different types of music for all kinds of people.
Sure.
And that's what it's going to be. So,
and what are the hours of the event?
It's from 12 to 6 p.m. Thank you, Mayor.
Very good. Very good.
And, of course, we are still letting people know about Fair Saturday. It's Fair Saturday is going to be on the same weekend of our We Are Christmastown USA in Quincy on November 29th, that Friday night, which is just amazing. We don't want to talk all about Christmas. We'll talk about that more as we come down. But Fair Saturday is a new thing on that Saturday, November 30th. Thousands of artists and cultural organizations get together from all over the world. This is a worldwide thing, and Quincy is the first in the United States to put this on. on. It's a unique festival and support local social causes throughout their show. Quincy, Mass is the first, as I said, to participate in this movement in the United States.
That sounds good.
I think I've said plenty, Mayor.
I think you've said plenty is right. I think it's time to wrap it up.
This is Mayor's show, so what he says goes. We'll see everybody.